Harry Graves along with Anthony Beers here on a Friday evening in Sydney, where the Sydney Warriors are leading the Walton Warriors 6-0, and we are waiting for the Sydney Warriors to reemerge on the football field. Bringing you up to date on one thing that we had talked about previously, we said that Spencer Van Etten and Kander had been in consolidation talks for the whole year, as a matter of fact, and they were going to be having a public information meeting coming up here this next week at Kander High School. Well, Chenango Forks and Chenango Valley have also been talking about consolidation, and the two school boards met this last week, and Chenango Valley voted unanimously to let the people decide. Chenango Forks board voted 3-2 in favor of handing the decision over to the taxpayers. So they will both be having straw votes coming up within the next month. The straw vote will take place on December 3rd at both schools, and we made the mention before that it may very well have been the last football game being played at the varsity level at Chenango Forks High School last week. And we still don't know the details of whether that will be the case or not, but it was certainly a possibility. So two school mergers are possible coming up in the very near future in the Southern Tier. Tonight's halftime report has been brought to you by the fine folks at Marabito Energy Products, the area's full-service energy provider. Remember Marabito's Rewards Plus. It's a one-of-a-kind customer loyalty program designed to save you money and to give you more for your energy dollar. Call the folks at Marabito Energy Products, Sydney, New York, 607-563-HE. A-T. So, Mr. Beers, it looks like I've got to put you back to work again.
Oh.
And Anthony Beers will be the man who will be doing the play-by-play in period number 3, as we want to make sure that we send him off in style. The officials are on the field. The Walton Warriors are now just beginning to come onto the field, and the Sydney Warriors are still in their huddle. So it is going to be the, I watch the referee out here counting the number of players coming onto the field. As we have to remember all of the tasks that all of these officials have to do. So the ball is going to be teed up in there by your old buddy Mr. Nages, and it will be two men back at about the 25-yard line to do the receiving for the Walton Warriors. So the aforementioned number 51, Zach Nages, a senior, 5'9", 245 pounds, approaches the football.
And it's a low wobbly kick that's going to be bouncing return by Walton. And Walton's got some room in front as some blockers begin to proceed to the right side. He tries to turn the field, but he steps out of bounds. I think that was Rutherford on return.
Yeah, and I think, let's see.
Number 33 is Christian Rutherford.
So
getting some mud on those white jerseys, Harry. Kind of getting difficult for us to ascertain those numbers.
So Christian Rutherford making the long run laterally, but the short run up the field. And here we go. It is going to be 1st and 10 for the Walton Warriors. Ball marked down at about the 41-yard line.
The Warriors are still in the huddle. Mentioned the mud earlier in the game. I actually was able to walk out onto the field very soft after all the rain we got from the past couple days.
And the field is holding up rather well.
Yeah, that's true.
For that case.
Hit takes the snap and turns around to his left, hands it off to his teammate who is sworn by Sydney defenders.
Yeah, and we have a whole host of people down there, and they, I believe, say that the ball was coughed away. It was going to be Tanner Shuck who picks it up and runs toward the end zone, but the officials say, it was already dead. The ball's going to be spotted down right at the line of scrimmage. If anything, he maybe gained a yard on that.
You know, it never hurts as a defender to pick up any ball you see, and it's always interesting to see the instincts from those defensive players saying, oh, I got the ball. It's my ball. My ball.
Second and about nine. The ball at the 42-yard line. The Walton Warriors have it.
And that was Meade on the last carry for a gain of about a yard. And hit, scans the field, and looks to his left as he kicks a man in motion and takes a snap and now tosses the ball left back to Meade. Meade twists his way forward for a positive gain.
Yeah, picks up Matt 1, maybe 2 yards. He manages to get down to about the, we'll call it 44-yard line. It's going to be a long 7 from there.
This will bring up a third down for the Walton Warriors. And as you said, about 7. So with Hitt coming back onto the field with the play from his coach.
That was interesting to watch the guys at the sidelines. Keen Shaw being the main cheerleader trying to get the crowd going as he every so often turns this way and says, come on, guys, make noise.
We've seen that from time to time again this season. Hitt kicks a man in motion. That's Rutherford he kicked in motion and then gives the ball to Meade. And Meade is showing some speed as he evades tacklers on the left side of the field and makes a great effort at an attempt of the first down.
Yeah, he's going to get the first down as he will get across midfield down to about the 46 before he's pushed out of bounds. Gain on that play of about 13.
It's interesting, you see Meade on those hands off over the middle with his head down, his legs ready to turn, but when he gets a toss to the outside, he's got some quickness and he's tough to bring down.
Yeah, you've got Nate Sparling, who is a 5'8 junior, 202 pounds. You'll see him in there from time to time.
Definitely in there as a fullback for lead blocking, and with his size, it's definitely understandable.
So first and 10, the Walton Warriors on the 46.
And the aforementioned fullback out there to lead block and does the best he can as a clutter of players bring down the halfback towards the middle of the field.
So Sparling, we did not see him much in the first half of this ball game. Now he does the blocking. As it looks to me like we had Rutherford that time, or was that Army?
That ball, I think, went to Rutherford, but the tackle was by Zach Nages after a gain of about a yard. And that'll bring up second and 8. Second and almost 9.
One of the things that you have to watch here in game number 9, when it's a crossover game, doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's an opportunity for the coaches to be able to see some younger players. But at the same time, it's tougher to try to keep everybody up for the game.
This ball is going to go to Rutherford as a kind of a counterplay. Goes to the left side of the field. They do that fake hand up to the right and then give it to the left, Harry.
Rutherford, very much the speedy back. He manages to blow his way through to about the 40-yard line. However, we look at Nate Sparling, he is going to be the blocking back, the bulldozer, to try to open up that hole. 8:34, the clock running, period number 3. Walton trailing in the ball game, the Sydney Warriors leading it 6-0.
On the last third down, we saw Meade explode and pick up the first down. We'll see what Walton decides to do with this one. And again, it is Meade, this time to the other side of the field, and on a good play, after it looked like he was going to be tackled short, is able to find the first down, Harry.
Yeah, he'll get down across the 35-yard line, just inches on the low side of the 35, and it's going to be another Walton Warrior first down.
Derek Meade, 5'7", 130-pound sophomore, showing a lot of heart in this game, running very hard on this drive.
I'm going to give a shout-out to all of the Walton Warriors fans who happen to be joining us tonight via WCDOsports.com. So some people may have the advantage of listening live, other people joining us via the internet. So we have a pause in the action, and you can go ahead and say what you want to. It is going to be an opportunity for us to take a breather here and remind you that coming up tomorrow, we will have Section 4 semifinal Class D action coming up to you from Binghamton's Alumni Stadium. That's a turf field, going to be on the east side. Actually, it's the old North High School football field being remade. And it's an opportunity to watch the Unity Go Spartans take on Elmira Notre Dame, neutral territory. Game time going to be at about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So that coming your way tomorrow. 8:08 showing on the clock, period number 3. The Walton Warriors are back in action and ready to go. The coaches come to the near side. The Sydney Warrior defensive unit also ready to go.
Nice long drive from Walton, looking to punch it in as Meade gets another toss to the right before he's met by the Sydney defense.
Yeah, that may have been Chase. We'll look and see. Nope, number 33 is the man. That is going to be Zach Green. Green, a senior, manages to get a hold of him and bring him on down.
Green, Chase, Nages, Dean, names of players who were all in on that play, reading it before he was able to get to this line of scrimmage.
Talk about reading it incorrectly. Zach Green is a sophomore, so we're going to see a lot more of him in the days ahead.
Second and long coming for the Walton Warriors.
So second and we'll call it about 14. The ball spotted down at the 39-yard line.
Hitt needs to make up for the lost ground after that play, so he's going to give it to Rutherford on a run to the left side, and he shifts his way forward for a short gain.
Yeah, and Rutherford did not get good running room that time at all, so he manages to pick up a yard, maybe two at the very, very most, and the ball is going to be spotted down at the 33-yard line.
Rutherford sidestepping that time to try and avoid tacklers. Sydney defensive line having a good game in this one. Still no score for the Walton Warriors with 6:50 remaining in the third quarter. The Walton Warriors are going to break from the huddle. And we got a third and long situation. The Warriors have liked to run the football in this game, but a difficult time to do that given the circumstances. But they do it anyway as they give it to Rutherford, and he is met again by multiple Sydney defensive players.
Yeah, he just got crunched. He just got crunched. Loss on that play will move it back to about the 40-yard line, and they will spot it right down on the 40.
And the Walton Warriors have a fourth and very long, fourth and about, I'll say, 16.
Once again, you have the opportunity to see Keen Shaw trying to get the local fans going here. It's going to be a kicking situation, and Walton will be kicking from back in their own territory.
The snap and the punt angled to go out of bounds, and it does so beautifully.
Robert Merrill, the man who was kicking at that time, 6'2".
Merrill might be one of the better punters we've seen this season, Harry.
He manages to drop it down in the corner, and let's see, it's down at about the 3-yard line is what the PA announcer says here, so we'll look and see if that's on the mark. Down inside the 5, first and 10 Sydney Warriors from there.
A punt like that makes the drive a very tall order for the Sydney Warriors, looking to go 97 yards to get into the end zone.
I was thinking I'd written down that Merrill was doing all the kicking.
And Mike Chase is initially going to get a handoff, and you know what? He got right back to the 20 and nullifies that good punt on a good run that time by Mike Chase over the middle.
Chase managed to be brought down by two of the white-shirted, now dirtier white-shirted, Walton Warriors. And that's the kind of running that Chase has been doing this year.
And he's got the ball again on this play, but this time he's met by a couple of defensive tackles.
Yeah, they're going to read it right this time. It is going to be Zach Wilbur who leads the defense.
You can just kind of sense the emotion behind the running of Mike Chase, a senior here at Sydney.
Sydney leads in this ball game with about 5 minutes remaining in period number 3. 6-0 is our score for those of you who just check in from time to time and then go back to whatever else you mind doing.
The Warriors were going to run their hurry up but then decided to huddle up on this last play. They come out with 4 wide receivers on second and long. One man in the backfield, that's Chase. Everyone goes out for passes and Vibbard throws up a light,
ooh,
a nice
Constable
ball, and he's got his man, Constable. Constable decides to cut it back and is tackled.
Constable made the mistake that time. Constable had his man beat. If he had continued down on the the outside of the field. But he tried to manage to go inside, which may have been, well, I'm getting too close to the line of sidelines, and I don't want to step out of bounds. But that little hesitation allowed Walton to come in and put a defender on him and crunch him.
Yeah, it seemed that Constable might have anticipated being caught by the defensive back. I think it would have been an interesting foot race. This time the ball's going to go on the ground to Mike Chase, as you were saying, Harry.
Chase will be brought back to the line of scrimmage and brought down at the line of scrimmage. The ball put right down on the 35-yard line.
And we didn't really talk enough about that nice ball thrown by Vibbert on that play. Dropped in there perfectly.
Constable that time just simply, he had the race. It was just a matter of running it. So here we'll go. Vibbert again.
Vibbert running for his life on the right side of the field and throws off his back foot. And fortunately for Vibbert, that ball is just incomplete.
Yeah, almost grabbed down in there. I don't know across the way if I've got it right or not, but that may have been Colin Adam who had the opportunity to intercept that football. And we'll see. That's one of the things that I will say, that orange is not the most brilliant contrast to white. So as a result, you get a little mud on these jerseys, and it becomes much more of a challenge to spot the man.
And Vibbert stepping in the pocket, running the same play, this time to Shunk, and Shunk can't reel it in, and you hear the crowd roar.
Tanner not happy with himself that time. I believe that he was being paced in there. I'm going to say by Dylan Wood. That may have been who it is. It looks to me like 24 is Dylan Wood. He is another one of those sophomores getting a lot of playing time.
Yeah, it's difficult to make a catch, Harry, when you have a defensive back right in your pocket like that. But he was almost able to reel that one in.
So 3:50. It's going to be fourth and about 10.
Vibbert scoops the low snap and decides to take off to the races. And a great run by Vibbert. Good heads-up football. First down, Sydney Warriors.
Yeah, he gets about 15 that time, possibly only 14. The ball is still going to be high of the 20-yard line, but just a whisker high of the 20-yard line. And it will be first and 10 for the Sydney Warriors. 3:38, the clock running, period number 3.
And Vibbert having a good drive for the Warriors. This time Mike Chase lined up behind him and two receivers to his left and right, looking to throw again, and this time rolling to his left, and he switches hands, tucks it, and runs, and able to get a decent gain for the Warriors.
Oh, great little stop in there by Dawson Beers. Now, I wonder about that name. 5'9", 164-pound sophomore. Managed to get Vibbert right around the ankles and bring him down, but not until Vibbert had already managed to pick up about 9. So it will be second and about a yard coming up. And with that, we've got timeout being called on the field. You're listening to your station for sports in the Tri-Town area, WCDO.
We know how hard it is to raise a family these days. With your busy schedule and all those obligations, you need a financial institution that's all about you. We've got you covered. With internet services, convenient ATMs, online bill paying, and so much more. Stop by to find out about the Credit Union Advantage. We're a member-owned financial cooperative. We're all about you. SFCU, federally insured by NCUA. We're all about you.
Your local sports leader for over 20 years. FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
Harry Graves and Anthony Beers talking during that break about a scary situation. Mr. Dawson Beers, number 14 for the Walton Warriors. And what did you say about him?
I was thinking about in my younger days, I had the same number when I played Pee Wee football for my birthday number. So that's a little eerie, you can say.
And as an old-timer, as a retiree, I love listening to anybody talk about his younger days when
he's
still in college. So here we go. It is 3 minutes and 6 seconds remaining, period number 3. Go to it.
4 wide receivers. Another low snap that time, but able to be picked up and handed off to Chase, not before he's met by a wall of defenders.
So the Walton defensive unit, reading that one correctly, it'll be a loss on the play of a long three, and it'll move the ball back to about the 14-yard line.
2:45 remaining in the third quarter of this contest, and Vibber this time taking his time with the play that was given to him by Coach Matthews. Many wide receivers on the field. Chase is playing a slot position this time, and he's turning around for a screen, but it's going to Shunk, and Shunk getting as much as he possibly can that time before he's pushed out of bounds.
Yeah, he has run out of bounds. I'm not certain that was. Was it Shunk?
Yeah, it was an interesting screen play because Shunk and Chase both turned around, and I think Vibbert had the opportunity to decide who he wanted to throw to. That time it went to number 8, Tanner Shunk.
So we have ourselves with the down markers not move. Oh, now he moves it considerably. I was going to say, now it's 4th and 1. It looked to me like it was going to be 4th and about 4.
No measurement, and Vibbert is going to look to throw. He evades a sack. He's on his feet, and he could have ran for it, but he elects to throw, and it is caught for a touchdown.
That is Tanner Shunk all the way across the way who manages to make that snap.
It might have been Dylan Ruttenberg, I believe. Dylan Ruttenberg was able to come down with the catch. Shunk was in the picture, but Ruttenberg won that jump ball in the back corner.
Yeah, that's the 8-81 again. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I had to watch that time was one of the defenders for the Walton Warriors actually tripped over the first man who dove for Vibbert. And as a result, Vibbert had the opportunity to scramble for a long time, and he didn't have to get that football away anywhere near as quickly as he would have had the man not tripped over his own defensive player. 2:11 showing on the clock. Period number 3. Ball going to be brought back to Patrick Vibbert. Vibbert now picks it up and throws and goes into Ruttenberg for the point after. That was an intended kick. Now, wait a minute. Maybe they're going to say that there was a flag on that play. Let's see. Way off on the far side, there is a flag on the play. That was a bad snap that was intended to come back.
Kicking play. Nages is the kicker, yeah.
So it was coming back, and the ball was a little bit high. Vibbert had to go up, get out of his position, and then there was no opportunity for Nages to kick it. The pass was complete, but there was a flag on the play, so we will have to wait and see what it is. And it's going to be marched off against the Sydney Warriors. So it will move the ball back to about the 10. Ooh, big one. Going to bring the ball all the way back to about the 13-yard line.
On that touchdown by Ruttenberg before, it was interesting that Vibbert had more than enough room to run for the first down on fourth down, remember, but he elected to throw, and it paid off.
So here we'll go. It's going to be this time a passing situation as they'll try to get the PAT, and the ball is going to be thrown complete in there to Ruttenberg. So it was a two-point conversion from Patrick Vibbert to Dylan Ruttenberg, the senior, and that makes our score 14-0 in favor of the Sydney Warriors over the Walton Warriors. It's Friday Night Football on WCDO.
Quality Hardwoods in Twin Valley on Route 8 in Bainbridge proudly take part in sponsoring local sports on WCDO and remind fans to get out and cheer on your favorite teams. If you're a woodworker, contractor, or do-it-yourselfer, be sure to stop by Twin Valley, featuring quality hard and soft woods for flooring, stairs, cabinets, molding, and more. Every piece is hand-inspected and stored in a climate-controlled area. Visit Twin Valley's retail store, a division of Quality Hardwoods on Route 8, just a half mile north of the Route 7 and 8 traffic light, and proudly supporting our area's local athletes.
The Egley family and the Egley Machine Company on Route 7 Riverside in Sydney proudly support high school sports on WCDO. The future of our area lies in the hands of our youth, and Egley Machine urges students to work hard in school. It's very important to complete your education, as today's job market is very competitive. No matter what field you're going into, prepare yourself for a prosperous and rewarding career. Egley Machine is a proud Tri-Town company that designs and builds injection molds for the plastics industry and components for a variety variety of other companies. Egley Machine proudly supports the youth in our communities and is happy to be a part of high school sports on WCDO.
Your New York State Excellence in Broadcasting award-winning station, FM 101 at AM 1490, WCDO.
Turn, breaking from the huddle, and they're ready to start their drive in very good field position.
2:05 remaining in period number three.
Hit, calls out his cadence, sets his team on the line, and hands it off to Rutherford before he is hit. It's the play we've seen time and time again, Harry, on the left side of the field.
Very short gain by Rutherford. Not a good gain. They're going to say he lost about a yard on that play. Maybe only a foot, but regardless, it's going to be second down, and we'll call it 10.5.
And a man jogs onto the field. That's number 28 coming in as a substitution. That's Robert Merrill. He was coming in off on the side of the field.
Remember, Merrill is one of those men who plays a whole lot. He was ended up being a starter out in an end position. He's also the man who does the kicking.
And he's 6'2", 170-pound junior. And he'll hit, looks around again, and kicks a man in motion. That time, Rutherford goes in motion. Before this play can get underway, a flag is thrown.
Yeah, and with that, it is going to be an opportunity for another one to be called down. 1:10 remaining. They're going to call an illegal procedure against the Walton Warriors this time.
That'll cost them 5 yards and bring up second and about 16 with 1:05 remaining in the third quarter.
The ball spotted down at the 37-yard line in Walton Warrior territory. Walton still in its huddle back inside the 30.
Walton still looking to get on the board in this game, down 14-0.
Man split way out to the near side. That's Jacob Wright right here in front of us.
Hit kicks a man in motion and then gives it to him before he is met and dragged down by, you know, the poor guy had to hit Austin Dean on that play.
No gain on the play, loss of a couple of yards. It'll be down to about the 35-yard line. That will bring up a third, and we'll call it 18.
I really feel for any running back that has to have the unfortunate situation of having to run into Austin Dean. And we've mentioned numerous times this season, Austin Dean is 6'6", 260 pounds.
Plays being run in from the bench for the Walton Warriors. Sydney does exactly the same thing. Once again, man split to the near side.
It's going to be a quick toss, but the ball is going to go through the hands of a wide receiver and sail out of bounds.
Yeah, Jacob Wright, the intended receiver, nothing on the play, and we come to the end of the third quarter. It is the Sydney Warriors leading the Walton Warriors 14-0 on Friday Night Football on WCDO.
With cooler weather on the way, now's the time to think about getting your furnace and air ducts cleaned for this year's heating season. Kirk Gardner of Superior Heating and Air Duct Cleaning of Sydney can install, service, and repair furnaces, hot water heaters, and boilers. Kirk also offers air duct cleaning, plumbing, electrical work, and carpentry. From decks, porches, and siding installation to minor home repairs and even complete remodeling of your home or business. Professional quality work at reasonable prices. Call 349-0833. That's 349-0831 for Superior Heating and Air Duct Cleaning of Sydney.
You already know Chambers and O'Hara, Route 7, Riverside, and Sydney for quality vehicles at great prices, but did you know the Chambers and O'Hara service team is second to none? From vehicle repairs to routine maintenance, service manager Doug Wheeler and the Chambers and O'Hara service team are always knowledgeable and professional. Oil changes, brake jobs, tires, inspections, and so much more. Chambers and O'Hara, Route 7, Riverside, Sydney. Call for all of your vehicle service needs, 563-4311. Help Chambers and O'Hara keep our communities warm by dropping off gently used coats for the needy at our dealership on Route 7, Riverside in Sydney.
Let's get back to the action with local sports on WCDO.
Here to bring you the fourth quarter of tonight's contest is Harry Graves.
And a kick that will go end over end and go out of bounds at about the 43-yard line. So the Walton Warriors kick it away to the Sydney Warriors. Remember, Sydney in the dark uniforms tonight. and it is Walton in the white and orange uniforms. So here we go. It's a 14-0 ball game as the Sydney Warriors lead it, and the Walton Warriors trying to spoil the final game on the natural turf here at Alumni Field.
Excellent drive on Sydney's last time with the ball. Dylan Ruttenberg getting a couple of big catches for a touchdown and a two-point conversion to result in the end of the drive.
So first and 10, Vibbert still in there at quarterback, in the shotgun, takes the snap. He is being pursued, but manages to get away from one of the Walton Warriors, fires one out there to Tanner Shunk. Shunk is close to first down territory, but not quite. It will be second and one.
You've said it before, Harry. Vibbert being able to keep his cool in this game and his ability to just not even really be fazed by the potentiality of getting hit by somebody.
One of the things that Coach Jim Hoover has to do is make sure that his people make that contact, because a number of times Patrick Vibbert has been able to shake off somebody or elude an on-rushing Walton Warrior. Patrick Vibbert ready to go again in the shotgun, snaps it back once again, evades two would-be tacklers. He's going to keep it and head for the sideline, and finally runs out of bounds after crossing the 40. It will be out of bounds at about the 38, good for the first down.
The challenge for the Walton Warriors, who are able to get a lot of pressure, is containing Vibbert from being able to run. It's a difficult task to be able to rush a quarterback without over-pursuing to the point where he can run right by you when you have a speedy quarterback like Vibbert.
So two key seniors in the backfield for the Sydney Warriors. Patrick Vibbert in his final ball game, Mike Chase in his final ball game, and they have helped each other out immeasurably all night. Vibbert at the 43-yard line, going to keep it, tuck it under his own arm, and run it himself. And again, Vibbert gets away from the first man to make contact. Finally, he is going to be ridden out of bounds down there by number 28. That is Robert Merrill. But not until Patrick Vibbert picks up the first down.
It appeared that Vibbert might run out of bounds after picking up the first down, but his last night as a senior in Sydney, he was trying to go for it all on that one, Harry.
The ball going to be placed down at the 12. It will be first and 10 for the Sydney Warriors, splitting way out on the far side. It's going to be Jordan Constable. Snap comes back to Vibbert, who will go to Chase, and Mike Chase tries right up the middle, picking up short yardage, getting down inside the 10. We'll call him down to about the 7-yard line, and it will bring up a second, and we'll call it six, long six, 10-10, showing on the clock. The Sydney Warriors still in the huddle. Now Ruttenberg splits to one side. It's going to be Constable off to the other side.
The Warriors need to get to the 2-yard line to pick up a first down.
And the ball will be run in by Vibbert, but this time the first man to grab hold of him hangs on, and it is going to be, I believe, Tyler Griffin who will make the stop. We do have a loose ball, and the ball is recovered by the Walton Warriors. And out in front of us, it is Keen Shaw who is saying, "Let's hear noise," from the Sydney Warrior stands. So 9:47 remaining in this ball game. It is the Sydney Warriors up by 2 touchdowns. And it is first and 10, Walton, the ball at the 8-yard line.
That time Griffin was able to force a fumble from Vibbert, and it wasn't really clear who was able to dive on that ball. It was Lucifer after the initial man tried to dive on it, but Walton able to come away.
So hit goes to the second man through. That appears to be Rutherford. I'm not dead certain on anything at this point. Nope, it's going to be Quinn Harvey who comes up off the bottom of the pile.
Harvey
he'll pick
in tonight,
up about three.
Harvey in tonight's game has consistently run the fullback dive play straight up over the middle time and time again, and had to go through the challenge of the Sydney defensive line.
9:20 showing on the clock. So in the game tomorrow, we'll have a 4 o'clock contest. It'll be Unitego against Elmira Notre Dame from Binghamton's Alumni Stadium. A man goes in motion coming to the left side. Ball will be kept on the ground, and we have a big crunch. They mark forward progress up at about the, we'll call it the 14-yard line. Now they will move the ball up to that position, so a gain of a couple.
Crowd very happy with that gang tackle. Roars from the crowd as they applaud their town heroes.
8.5 minutes left in this contest. Patrick Vibbard with his helmet off, standing at about the 45-yard line, just watching the play as he is not on the defensive unit for this series of downs. 8:14, the clock still running. Blake Hitt still in there as the quarterback for the Walton Warriors. Short gain. And now they're going to say fumble as the ball was kicked off, and it will be the Sydney Warriors who will recover.
Yeah, Hitt just kind of lost the ball initially right after the snap. Put it on the ground, caused a big commotion of all sorts of players, and Sydney was able to dive on it. And you can tell that Vibbard is excited to be right back on the field.
The aforementioned Patrick Vibbard snapping the chin strap on his helmet now goes out onto the field as he's back in the ball game again. 8:01 remaining in this contest. Rutenberg split off to the near side. Constable to the far side. Once again, it will be Vibbard and company operating from the shotgun. Shunk goes in motion. Low snap. Picked up, and it's going to be down toward Constable. Constable grabs it, and a flag is thrown. So Constable manages to be down in the end zone, but a flag was thrown.
They're going to say that Constable pushed off before he caught it.
So it will negate the touchdown. It's going to be penalties marched off against the Sydney Warriors. Now from the line of scrimmage at about the 14, the ball will be moved back down across the 25 to the 29-yard line.
On that play, Vibbard took a quick two steps and almost without even looking just saw the one-on-one coverage between Ruttenberg and his man and challenged the defender to try and make a play. Flag negated the touchdown, though, and Sydney still looking to make some positive yards of their drive.
So identical situation to last time, except this time the snap will come back to Vibbard. He will hand it off to Chase. Chase just powers his way forward. When I said exactly the same situation, they split Constable off to the left and Rutenberg to the right. Gain on that play will move the ball up to about the 23-yard line. Vibbard going to pass. He rolls. He looks and aims it down in there for number 81. That is Dylan Rutenberg, the senior. Incomplete forward pass.
Tough catch that time for Rutenberg, and it was Vibbard that time who took a shot from the pass rush from the Walton Warriors that have been blitzing and trying to get Vibbard all night.
So third and about 16, possibly 17, 7:19 showing on the clock. It is still a 2-touchdown lead for the Sydney Warriors.
7:19 remaining in the fourth quarter of tonight's contest.
Now Vibbard has managed to have a few seconds to reset his systems. The snap comes back and he goes in the air to Tanner Shunk, and it's that short pass that will get Shunk down to near the first down territory.
Shunk was hit hard on the play and he kind of spiraled to the other side of the field. Looked like he lost the ball.
I didn't. That was what I was thinking, that he had lost the ball, because when he came out, he ended up over toward the down markers on the far sideline.
Yeah,
but it looks like one of his teammates recovered that fumble, and it will bring up a fourth, and we will call it about two.
Yeah, the screen pass was intended to go to Shunk, and he had a number of blockers in front of him, but someone was able to evade those blockers and give him just a brutal hit and knock him off sideways to the left.
Dylan Rudenberg way off to the near side, but it'll be a short little pop pass offered up by Vibbard, and with that, it will be incomplete, and it will be first down.
Flag on the play, though, Harry, that we'll wait and see what this call is.
I can see a white flag on the play. Where's the yellow one?
The yellow one's
there?
Over there to the right.
It may be or it may not be. So the ball is in the hands of an official at about the 5-yard line, and they're going to take half of the distance to the goal line, and that will be enough for the first down. Defensive pass interference is the call.
And that'll give the Sydney Warriors a first and goal on the 3, looking to try and punch in this drive with 6.5 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter.
Well, we have a number of people enjoying the game. The energetic and younger ones in shorts tonight. Some of the older folks dialed up in a bit of a jacket. Not a heavy jacket. 6:33, and the ball is going to be kept in there to, let's see, is that Mike Chase?
Yeah.
So Chase just bowls his way forward, and that touchdown coming in at 6:33 in period number 4. So it now goes to a 20-0 ball game, a rivalry contest between the Warriors, Walton and Sydney, respectively. Sydney leading it by 3 touchdowns. With that, it's going to be Nages coming off to the near sideline, being helped by one of his teammates, as it looks like he may have twisted his ankle a little bit. So as a result, he is tendering that left foot just a little bit as he comes off to the sidelines. They are going to replace him with Dylan Gifford. Remember, the kicking options are not as numerous, according to the Sydney coaching staff, so you can almost expect this one to be a play that will be kept on the ground, and we're going to keep it right here. They're going to actually call timeout before the point after attempt, and with that, it will give me an opportunity to remind you one more time that one of our very fine all-season sponsors is having a coat drive. So the folks at Chambers and O'Hara encourage you to help us keep the families warm this winter. So you can donate any of your slightly used coats, any sizes, drop them off at their dealership anytime between now and November 15th. You want more information? Well, check the ads that have been running in the Tri-Town News for Chambers and O'Hara. 6:33 remaining. The touchdown made it a 20-0 score. Now we're getting ready for the point after attempt, probably to be kept on the ground. Chase is standing in the backfield with Patrick Vibbard. Now they're ready to go. A man will go in motion. That is Shunk. Vibbard now going to tuck it under his own wing, find an opening, but not be able to get away with the football. The ball is going to go into the air and be grabbed on by one of the Walton Warriors. But that will be, as they say in the business, NG. So we have 20-0, the score on the scoreboard, and with that, we will take a quick timeout. You're listening to Harry and Anthony on a Friday night on the Tri-County Heartbeat WCDO.
As a small business owner, you are busy meeting the needs of your customers and your staff. Who's there to help meet your needs? Well, come speak with me. I'm Scott Smith from Neighbors Insurance. I can help with all your business insurance needs, including workers' compensation and disability. We also have markets for group health and dental plans. Please give me a call at 563-9955. for a free, relaxed, no-pressure analysis of your business insurance needs. That's Neighbors Insurance, Route 7, Riverside, Sydney, or in Oneonta, Route 7 on the East End.
FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO in Sydney, Bainbridge, and Unadilla.
So apparently, Nages is going to be all right because he's in there not for the point after attempt, but to kick off after the point after attempt. The ball will be down to about the 20-yard line, short run back. They'll get it back to the 25, and the Walton Warriors take over from there.
Rutherford, on the return that time, went one direction and decided to try and reverse his field to test his luck, but he was met by a number of Sydney defenders.
So the Walton Warriors will try it again. As we've pointed out so many times, a very youthful backfield, sophomore quarterback Blade Kitt, along with a couple of sophomore backs and a junior back. Now we're ready to go. Hitt is going to keep it on the ground. And there is a whole host of maroon uniforms to stop the ball carrier. Who's that?
Difficult to ascertain who got the handoff on that one.
That was Quinn Harvey. So Harvey the junior getting very short yardage, picking up maybe a couple of yards, getting it out to about the 27-yard line. We'll call it second and about 5:47, the clock running. Blake Hitt just taking his time. Now he's got a little pop pass, an open man on the far side, no gain on the play. And the man is going to be shaken up, and a flag is thrown, a long flag from way in the backfield. And we have one of the Walton Warriors down, the intended receiver that time. So now we are going to be having a penalty called against the Sydney Warriors, and they will move back. And with that, we will have an official's timeout. So we have a man who is shaken up on the field, and he is receiving a little bit of attention at this time. And they have managed to call everybody out, and with that, the ball is going to be moved all the way back to the 43-yard line and spotted down there as everybody takes time to get things going. I want to remind you that we have all kinds of events coming up on Election Day, as we will have various Election Day suppers around the area. The Morris Fire Department Auxiliary will be holding its annual Election Day dinner. It's going to be fried chicken and all of the goodies there. In Gilbertsville, it is going to be a lunch and dinner at the Gilbertsville Baptist Church. That is a soup and sandwich event. Up in Franklin, they're going to have an Election Day ham loaf dinner. It is going to be from 4 until whatever time, 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And if you are an early bird, the Bainbridge Rotary Club will be serving an Election Day pancake meal. That will be from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. So lots of things for you to eat on Election Day around our area. They are still administering to the downed player down at about the 27-yard line. That was the intended receiver that time. I do not know, and I'm not inclined to say any name until I know who it is.
Both teams are kneeling out on the field waiting to see the result.
Yeah, that one came in, and that was a crunch right away, and the official threw that flag from a mile away. I mean, he saw something that a lot of the rest of us may not have seen. So now, finally, the player is going to be helped up and will go off the field. I know who I think it was, but I don't want to say it until I can see that number on the back. And they will take his helmet off. to stand there and let him breathe for a minute or two. And now one of his teammates comes over and picks up the helmet and takes it off. That is going to be, I believe, Ryan Fairchild, who takes the helmet and removes it to the far sideline. And let's see. I don't know. Is that going to be Robert Merrill? Is that 28? That's who I was thinking that it was. It was one of the intended receivers that time. So I don't know if it was Merrill or if it was going to be
maybe Colin Adams.
Number 31, Tanner Goodrich.
It's either, you know, I see a 2 in there, I think.
In any event, it's 2, it's going to be 28, Robert Merrill.
Yes.
And regardless, the ball is going to be a big penalty against the Sydney Warriors. That will move it back toward midfield to about the 43-yard line. And that's where we will go, 1st and 10, Sydney Warriors from there. 5 minutes, 30 seconds remaining in this contest. Harry and Anthony on a Friday night.
Walton Warriors still attempting to get on the board in this game, down 20-0. You can bet they're going to do whatever they can to get on the scoreboard.
So here we go. It is Lucas Hammond breaking out of the huddle first, coming up over the football as the junior center, as Blake hit right behind him. And with that, the ball will be kept on the ground very short yards as we have a very quick whistle. And it's going to be put down right at the line of scrimmage. And we will have a loss of possibly 1 yard by hit, as he was hit immediately. Blake hit 5'8", only 130 pounds.
That was an odd play, Harry. It looked like hit just kind of went down. Due to the situation, either maybe it was confusion with the offense or an anticipation of a hit from the defense. But
Derek Mead, one of his running backs in the backfield, is also 130 pounds, also a sophomore. Now hit is ready to go again, puts a man in motion from left to right and keeps the ball on the ground. Good gain in there as Quinn Harvey makes it up to the 50-yard line, gain of about 7, almost 8 yards.
That time it was the second effort by Harvey that got him the nice yardage on that run.
Christian Rutherford is the other running back. He is also a sophomore, 5'8", 142. He's the heavyweight. Split out to the right side is going to be Jacob Wright this time. Hit sends the man in motion, going from left to right, whips around. The ball is going to be carried by Harvey up across the 35. He will get the first down and be at about the 30. Well, they're going to put the ball right at the 35.
That time he was able to pick up a gain of about 15, and the Sydney Warrior defense wasn't really able to pick up where he was before it was too late and he had enough yards for the first down.
So Hitt went over to the far sideline to have words with the coaching staff. Now he will come back in. He will send Jacob right off again to the right side. Also has a running back over there. Now the man will go in motion, come back, and again it's going to be Harvey on the with the ball, and Harvey will get down inside the 20-yard line. So they send both Mead and Rutherford in motion from time to time, but they have gone with Quinn Harvey, the junior running back, the most experienced of the running backs, and they let him be the workhorse. He gets down to the 15-yard line this time as our clock continues to run at about 2:40.
5'11" and 168 pounds is Harvey. Good running on this drive for the Walton Warriors, led by Harvey.
So Jacob Wright splits to the right side. So does Derek Mead. Off to the near side, it is going to once again be the workhorse Harvey, who will be almost unstoppable as he gets down inside the 10-yard line. Looks like a gain of about 7 or 8 on the play. We'll see where the markers go. And it is going to be at about the 7-yard line. So the Walton Warriors, with 2:02 remaining on the clock, are knocking at the door of the Sydney Warriors.
The Walton Warriors determined to do whatever they can to get in the end zone before the end of this game.
This time, it is going to be the man split to the near side, right. And the play will be almost a mirror of what they've had before. They will go to Harvey again, and Harvey will get down inside the 5 to about the 2.
And immediately after the carry, quarterback Blake Hitt is jogging quite quickly to the sidelines to get the play from Coach Hoover.
1:32 remaining. The chain gang already moved out of position as it's going to be first and goal to go.
Number right. 17, Jacob Wright, as you were going to say, Harry, split out wide to the right side.
Yeah, but watch him go on the ground again, and that's exactly what they're going to do, and it will be in for the touchdown by Quinn Harvey. So he has done it again and again and again. It's very interesting because we have seen an evolution of this game from the first half to the second half as they went to Derek Mead time and time again and Christian Rutherford in the first half. But here in the second half, it has been the junior, the more experienced Quinn Harvey. 20-6 is our score. That score coming at 107.
Well-deserved touchdown for Harvey on the drive.
So Blake Hitt sends the man in motion again, but this time it looks like a lot of maroon uniforms will stop the point after attempt, and our score will remain 20-6. Harry and Anthony on a Friday evening from Sydney's Alumni Field. It's Friday Night Football on WCDO.
Did you know Enchanted Gardens Route 7 Harpersville is a full-service florist featuring beautiful flowers perfect for any occasion? They also have antiques, candles, jams and jellies, and other great gift selections. Plus, you can save 20% off their already low prices on trees and shrubs right now. Enchanted Gardens is fully insured and still booking for your fall plantings and landscape design and construction. Or for a free estimate, call Steve or Sherry at 693-2755. Enchanted Gardens, Route 7, Harpersville. Family owned and operated for over 27 years.
Your New York State Excellence in Broadcasting award-winning station. FM 101 at AM 1490 WCDO.
1:07 remaining in this ball game. Back to do the receiving is going to be number 80. That is going to be Dylan Gifford, we'll say it right. The ball momentarily gets away from Gifford. That prevents the long run back. When he recovers the ball, he finally gets off across the 25 to about the 28 or 29-yard line. And the Sydney Warriors will take over from there.
Yeah, Dylan Gifford is a junior, listed at six feet tall and 160 pounds. Definitely trying to get him some time out there going into the next season.
1st and 10, Sydney Warriors. Ball spotted down at the 28-yard line. This, the rivalry contest that has been pretty much dominated by Sydney.
You can see all the seniors hanging out on the sidelines.
So,
Vibbard, Kozak, Constable.
So here we go. It is the final minute of the 2013 season. Not a large crowd here tonight, so not a lot of people have left. The ball going to be kept on the ground by the Walton Warriors. Is that carried in there by the Sydney Warriors? It was going to be who? Walton's, I believe that was Dawson Beers maybe making that stop.
All hugs on the sidelines for the Sydney Warriors, all the seniors enjoying their last few moments together as a team.
I'll tell you, if I had an opportunity to wave a magic wand, I would not allow anybody to have orange numerals on their back. I would definitely have them be black. The ball got to be kept in there. Let's see, it'll be carried forward, I do believe, by Patrick Vivian. Nope, Brandon Bissett took the handoff and managed to get good running room.
And with the clock dwindling down, about 5 seconds remaining in the game, that should do it.
Yep, and with that, the fans here come to their feet and give the applause, and with that, this ball game is over. So it was the second quarter before anybody managed to score. It was a Vibbert to Shunk 20-yarder that managed to put the Sydney Warriors on the board 6-0. In the third quarter, a 13-yard reception by Quinn
by Rutenberg.
Yeah, I'm getting Rutenberg. Dylan Rutenberg. We'll get the right person. And then in the fourth quarter, it was Mike Chase rounding out the scoring for the Sydney Warriors, and it was 3-0 at that point, 20-0. And then finally it was Quinn Arby who came in late in the ball game with only about a minute remaining to put the Walton Warriors on the scoreboard. So this ball game is in the books. We'll be back with a closing wrap-up coming up in just a moment. You're listening to your station for sports, WCDO.
When it comes to your home, doing more for less counts. And at NBT Bank, that counts to us. Now make more of what's yours with a new home equity line of credit with a 3-month introductory rate of 0% APR and no closing costs. When it comes to making the most of your home, you can count on us. Stop by or call 800-NBT-BANK for details on credit costs and terms. NBT Bank, for everything that counts. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 500501.
Echo Brands of Sydney is proud to be part of WCDO's high school sports coverage. As a major employer in the Tri-County area, Echo Brands supports young people in our communities and hopes that these young athletes have much success this sports season. Always work hard and always display good sportsmanship. Echo Brands of Sydney, an industry leader in the manufacture of planning products and calendars. Echo Brands cheers on student athletes in every sport.
When shopping for a new mattress or home furnishings and decor, look no further than the area's value leader, the Catalog Outlet Stores of Unadilla, Oneonta, North Norwich, and Margaretville, where you will find their large selection and everyday low prices are the best around. At the Catalog Outlet, you will find quality brand name home furnishings for every room. Save on sofas starting at just $299 and recliners from only $199 every day. Save on bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, TV consoles, bunk beds, and much more. For a good night's sleep, treat yourself to a new mattress from the Catalog Outlet's in-store sleep centers, where mattresses by Spring Air, Eclipse, Therapeutic, and American Bedding are featured in every size and comfort level. Nobody sells mattresses for less. The Catalog Outlet Stores are open 7 days a week in Unadilla at the corner of Martin Brook and Railroad Streets, in Oneonta's West End at 357 Chestnut Street on State Highway 12 North Norwich, and in Margaretville at 743 Main Street, or visit online at CatalogOutletOnline.com. Low prices, best selection, and service with a smile. Only at the Catalog Outlet, now celebrating 24 years of offering you the best for less.
The Tri-County Heartbeat is FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
Terry Graves and Anthony Beers here for the final game from Sydney for the 2013 season. And finally, everybody is out of our press box and we can get this thing finished. Before we close things up today, I want to say it has been a pleasure to work with you all season long, so I will give you the last word here tonight. Our post-game show is being brought to you by NBT Bank, serving the community for over 150 years and putting the customers first every single day. NBT Bank, member FDIC.
It's been a pleasure working with you as well, Harry. And offensive player, I went with the seniors for tonight. We'll start with Pat Vibbert, who threw for a couple of touchdowns and showed a lot of poise in the pocket tonight. And has had a great season for the Sydney Warriors.
He has shown poise every game. It has been a pleasure to watch him go. Post-game show also being sponsored by the Catalog Outlet Store, your store with over 1,000 items for a good deal and a good deal more. Shop the Catalog Outlet in Unadilla, Oneonta, North Norwich, and now their newest location in Margaretville. Mr. Beers, the dynamic defensive player.
Defensive player is senior and linebacker Kai Sabata. Throughout the season, Kai has been tough to get off the field, but tonight I was really impressed with his defensive ability, and the kid's just tough as nails, and congratulations to him and him moving on as a Sydney Warrior.
And the All-Purpose Award is being awarded by ACCO Brands of Sydney, supporting youth activities in the communities of the Tri-Town area, and happy to be part of high school sports on radio station WCDO. ACCO Brands, proud to be a local employer, all-purpose player.
The all-purpose player of tonight's game will be Zach Nages, who is center, kicker, and defensive lineman for the Sydney Warriors in tonight's contest and throughout the entire season. He's been an anchor for this team and a big part of them. And also, some shout-outs to other seniors. Dylan Ruttenberg caught a couple of touchdowns, and Mike Chase, who ran his heart out tonight. Very important key players of this team who will be missed next season.
And again, the final score, 20-6. Tomorrow it will be the contest between the Unitika Spartans and Elmira Notre Dame, coming to you from Binghamton's Alumni Stadium. I'm Harry Graves.
And I'm Anthony Beers.
And I will be there tomorrow. You will be on television side, but we hope that all of you listeners along the line will be in the stands, because that's always the very best place to see a football game. In the meantime, stay tuned for more continuous favorites, even the Halloween ones, on FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO. Thank you ever so much for lending us your ears. From Sydney High School, good evening, everybody.